This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
A traveling man and a very hardworking man. He is Andrew Siciliano, and he is on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. What's up, traveling man? How are you doing?
Hello, sir.
Good morning, guys. I would like to, whenever you say traveling man, I'm going to just say lucky man.
You are lucky.
Just a lucky guy who gets to do this. Good morning, guys. How are you?
Although you sounded great on both games that I listened to last week. So I say that to you not only to be nice, but I thought you, especially the Sunday game was a tough one. But the Saturday one was a lot of fun. And you got to see two of the best catches, I think, of the whole weekend in college football.
Yeah, back to back as well. I mean, a couple seconds apart. And he, let me tell you guys, the amount of respect and praise for an 18-year-old. Through the roof. And look, there's always the coach speak on the podium, right? Which is, oh, the guy's working hard and, he's going to have a bright future and we're really excited to have him. You know, there's that kind of stuff. And then there is the behind the scenes stuff when you're actually talking to coaches and it's legit the praise and respect that they have for Jeremiah Smith and the fact that he practices like a 10-year veteran and the fact that, you know, they think legitimately he can play in the NFL tomorrow if he had to. He is that good and that ready, and he's a kid who's asking to be on punt block team. You know, he might have $1 million allegedly NIL deal. His Twitter handle might say professional football player, but he practices like a pro. He does not act like a spoiled kid, and everybody's raving about him for good reason.
Oh, he's awesome to watch. Awesome to watch.
Can we put him in an orange helmet for Sunday?
You know, I got a couple of tweets during the game. Can you please bring him with you to Vegas?
How'd that work?
Hey, I'm happy I got there. That was a long one, and that gave me a little anxiety, and so I'm happy we got there. And heck, got there in like 4 hours before the game. It was fantastic.
So riddle me this one, my friend. Amari Cooper has had an up and down start to the season. He's the least of my concerns. Is that fair? That he's the least of my concerns?
I think it is.
Okay.
I think his track record proves that these are bumps in the road and that he will be fine. It was disappointing last week. I mean, that was one of Deshaun's better throws of the season, you know, to hit a downfield shot and have it go right through his hands. And then the Raiders, six plays later, put points on the board. That was a massive, massive swing. But I also saw the Amari Cooper that ran away from people on that 82-yard touchdown that probably should have stood, and Deshaun make a great throw on that. So it's not as if, look, he bounced back in the same game is my point. But, yeah, that one hurt because when the margin of error is as slim as it is right now, you need plays like that, especially in the fourth quarter because the fourth quarter has been their nemesis.
So how do they do it? How do they put four quarters together? Because I think that's what we're all waiting for.
Yeah, look, that's the big question here. And if you could somehow bottle that first drive magic, they've scored on all five opening drives, then I think they'd be in a better – well, I know they'd be in a better position. You can't leave it to the fourth quarter. This team is better than the teams you've played the last 2 weeks. As odd as that sounds, I know it didn't feel that way when you looked at the calendar. It looked at the schedule midsummer. This team is better than the other two teams you have faced.
Agreed.
And you're going into a building that is it's going to be loud. They have that franchise, that fan base is awake again. It had been dormant for a long, long time. It is awake. People are fighting over tickets like they haven't done in 25 years there. This is a different beast this week, and Jaden Daniels is truly the real deal. But the thing that gets me, if you ask, well, how do you win this week? You got to stop the run, and you couldn't stop the run last week against the worst run team in the NFL. But this Washington team, don't be fooled by the shiny object that is Jaden Daniels. They're a run-first team, and he is part of that. Collectively, Jaden Daniels, Ryan Robinson, and Austin Eckler, assuming he's back this week, have already run for 600 yards. They ran for 219 as a team last week. So you got to stop the run midweek.
Speaking of that, stun the heck out of you that the Raiders ran for 152 yards against the Browns?
Yes, considering they came in with 151 combined for the previous three, I would say yes.
So what's the problem?
I mean, tackling was the problem with that one. You got one guy out of a gap, and then you got to have Ronnie Hickman, you know, try to save a touchdown. There are a lot of – the thing for me this week is tackling on the edge, tackling on the perimeter, because the Commanders aren't just a run team. They're a screen team. I believe – and this number blew me away when I saw it last night. I believe 76% of their first down play calls are screens or runs. 76%. So they're going to test you on the edge, and you got to tackle in space. You got to come up, and you got to wrap up. If you get that guy into the line of scrimmage, you got to bring him down, period. Look, easy for me to say, but they have guys, the Browns, we have guys that clearly have shown an ability to tackle on the perimeter and hit hard. You got safeties that can, you know, shoot the gap and get him in the backfield. You just got to bring him down, because this is what they do. They run the ball, and then they take a couple of shots downfield.
All right, riddle me this one, Batman. How can the Browns look so good on the first drive and then not be able to put the offense together again for the rest of the game?
Look, they're not the first team to have that dilemma. It's actually a lot more common than you think. You work all week on, I don't want to call it your script, but, you know, your opening drive. You work all week on your first quarter, your opening drive, your first 10, your first 15. You drill them down, you execute them perfectly, and then you got to get to everything else, and then teams make adjustments. I mean, that's a very simplistic, you know, your dad on the couch analysis, why don't they adjust? But they've got to find a way to put drives together in the second, the third, and the fourth quarters. And if that's more of a dedication to the run, I don't know what it is, to be quite frank, but Deshaun opened 9 for 9, and he looked pretty good. And that's not to suggest he didn't throw good balls in the fourth quarter. He did. But they had the death by 1,000 paper cuts of a couple of little things, including the Nick Harris hold, which upon further review, I don't think it met the standard of an egregious hold. I think Miles has been held like that 4 to 5 times a game, if not more, and it not be called almost every week. I would have liked to have seen that one picked up, but yet still they had chances at the end.
Deshaun, I thought, played fairly well. Certainly played well enough to win against the Raiders. What growth have you seen?
That's a great question. I think he's taken some more shots downfield confidently. Obviously, there's the one in which he couldn't connect with Amari, in which he got mad at DeJuan afterwards. There was the second play of the game where he scrambled to the right and Jerry Jeudy made a great toe-tip catch on the sideline in front of the Browns bench. You know, he had Cooper over the middle. I don't know if that's the right read at first. I have not asked that question, but it looked like there are times to rip them downfield, you know, deep in cuts, deep posts, whatever, that aren't being taken. But he took what was given him early in that drive, early in that quarter. He started well, and if you believe in PFF rankings, it was his best game, I believe, as a Brown.
All right, a lot of fans want to blame this, blame that, blame this, whatever. How long do you think it takes when you bring in a new offensive coordinator, you bring in a new offensive line coach, how long do you think it takes for this thing to really gel and find itself when Kevin's been calling the plays and Kevin is calling the plays? Like, are people jumping to conclusions too fast about the impact of the coaching on why they're 1-3?
I think that's low-hanging fruit, to be honest with you. I think the bigger concern is the health and the communication of and on the offensive line. That's just me. You know, everybody on the same page. I can't remember who asked it, but somebody asked Kevin on Monday, like, hey, everyone keeps saying everyone on the same page, or giving that answer. Is that just, you know, a cliche? And I think it is. You know, plenty of teams put in new offensive systems and hit the ground running. I think the offensive line issues trump everything, honestly.
Some teams have had issues and seem to be working a little bit better on that offensive line. But I can't do anything but completely agree with you. You know, when you
look, the Commanders have a new offensive system. Sorry to cut you off. The Saints have a new offensive system.
Right.
Now they've kind of come back down to earth, but their first two games, they scored 91 points.
Right. They were nuts.
Right. Yeah.
I get it. I've made the point 80% of your offensive line was out that last game, you know, after Posick went out. It's just been really, really rough. And I find it hard, Andrew, to judge anything on the offense without being able to say, yeah, but until that offensive line, because I think that's the situation, until they figure that out and somehow get a little bit of health and a little bit of consistency there, I think it's almost unfair to judge any other aspect of the offense.
I've used this line before, guys, the return to play versus return to performance,
yeah.
and something to keep in mind here, Nick Chubb, Nyheim Hines, as we hope to get those guys back. You know, DeJuan Jones comes back, but his knee clearly isn't right. So you're not seeing the all-rookie team level of play and performance that you saw last year. Jed comes back, obviously doesn't make it through the first game. Posick's battling. You know, he got hurt against the Giants. He is fighting it, obviously. Wyatt Teller is out. Nick Harris is back at center. I thought he played reasonably well. I thought he played pretty well, actually. And then there's the miscommunication, obviously, on first down when you get inside the red zone. Deshaun is either trying to move Deontay for him, and clearly he's looking to the right. I don't know what that issue was, but there's a communication issue there, certainly, whether he wasn't lined up right, whether the noise was too much and they couldn't communicate whatever shift Deshaun wanted to make. I got to follow up on that, but then obviously he's looking to the right. The ball gets snapped. So he fell on it. Thankfully, they avoided it there. But there are all those little things adding up. And also, let's give credit to a $100 million player in Christian Wilkins. On the 4th-and-3 to end the game, you have a rookie playing right guard, and the $100 million defensive tackle won off the line. That's what $100 million defensive tackles are supposed to do. He won, and then the play went to, you know, to the left, and Deshaun had to throw across his body and never got the ball off and didn't work.
Good point.
You know, Christian Wilkins made the play. Hats off to him. We spoke so much about Max Crosby. You know, they also got another guy that's pretty good in that line.
Nice. Hey, do you have a college game on Saturday or no?
I do not.
Oh, congratulations. Get a little rest, my man. Get a little rest.
I do not. Excited. So, actually, this one I'm excited for me as well because, you know, my folks, my family is in Washington, so it'll be good.
All right. Outstanding. Mm-hmm. Well, good luck to you this weekend. You know we'll be locked in, and I'll talk to you on the pregame show before the game, too. So, thank you, Andrew. We appreciate you.
You got it, guys.
Thank you, Andrew.
He is Andrew Siciliano, Browns Radio Network, calling all the Browns games this year. And, of course, he was on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.